Hey everyone, welcome to our morning devos. Today I have the privilege of wrapping up 1 Corinthians by reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So let me read this passage for us and then I'll share some thoughts on 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up, as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia. And perhaps I will stay with you, or even spend the winter, so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now just in passing. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost. For a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. When Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord, as I am. So let no one despise him. Help him on his way in peace, that he may return to me, for I am expecting him with the brothers. Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to visit you with the other brothers, but it was not at all his will to come now. He will come when he has opportunity. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these, and to every fellow worker and laborer. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have made up for your absence, for they refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such people. The churches of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Prisca, together with the church in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord. All the brothers send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. If anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. Our Lord, come. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. As you already know, and as this chapter is probably a reminder to you, 1 Corinthians is a letter that the apostle wrote to the Christians in a city called Corinth. Paul traveled all throughout the Roman Empire for missionary and ministry work, and as he traveled, he sent letters back to places that he had visited, and this is one of those letters. And I say this because sometimes, even though we know this, when we read letters like this, it can feel a lot more like a book than a letter. Probably because we call these books of the Bible, but also because when Paul gets into his deep theological teachings and arguments, of which there were many in 1 Corinthians, we read it as lessons to be learned or ideas to be remembered and forget that this was a letter that he wrote to real human beings. But again, it's in places like today's chapter where you're reminded that this is the Apostle Paul writing to real people that he knew and had met in Corinth. After having spent most of the letter addressing theological questions and issues that the church was facing, Paul here makes personal comments like his travel plans and then commends specific people. In certain places, like verses 12 through 18 or verse 22, you can kind of tell he's trying to wrap up the letter, not only through his goodbyes, but seemingly randomly inserting instructions or teachings that maybe have suddenly come to mind, which makes sense given that Paul lived in an age where when you wrote something, you couldn't just hit backspace and rewrite it. You kind of just had to put it in there. Now, as I've read this, what stood out to me about all of this was the personal nature of Paul's relationships with people. In this chapter, Paul makes mention of seven different people, a couple different households, which would then add to that count, and then a general you when speaking to the Corinthian Christians. As much as Paul was teaching doctrine and making sure people lived righteously for Jesus, we also see that he really cared about and loved people. That there was a very personal nature to his interactions. That across churches and cities, there's a sense of togetherness and oneness in Christ. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, hopefully it doesn't come as a surprise to you that we're called to love one another. I mean, Jesus, shortly before he was arrested and eventually crucified, commanded his disciples to love one another just as he loved them. He just straight up says those words. Fellowship and union and love, Christ-like love, are meant to be hallmarks of the Christian faith. But as I'm sure all of us know from experience, unfortunately, even though we know this is true, even though we know this is how we're supposed to live, we aren't always the best at it. We very easily put up walls between us and others. We have this us versus them or me versus you mindset, whether that's between us and other churches, us and other age groups or backgrounds and cultures, or sometimes even just between you and certain individuals. As human beings, we're seemingly so good at coming up with barriers, reasons to separate us from other people. Or maybe it's not walls in the form of hostility. It could just be walls in the form of keeping a distance, not allowing people into the deeper spaces of your heart, and vice versa, meaning not seeking to build fellowship with others and coming to know them on a deeper, more personal level. If I can be completely honest here, I think this can be quite common within the church. You might see people occasionally or even on a pretty regular basis on a Sunday or at a new song, an encore, or whatever other gathering. And, you know, you see them, you smile, have a nice chat, crack a few jokes. But by the end of the conversation, if you really think about it, if you examined that relationship, you might realize that you haven't really made any progress in actually getting to know each other. A lot of the conversation was surface level, and, well, you just kind of do that every time you see each other. Not that you have to be the best of friends, not that every single conversation you have with someone has to be deep, heart-to-heart type of conversations, but when we think back again to how we're called to live as Christians, well, the walls that we form, whether in hostility or just simply distance, that's not how we're supposed to live. Because not only with the life of Jesus, but as best as I can tell, when we look at the Apostle Paul, we see that he really knew and loved these men and women. Read verse 7 again. He says, "For I do not want to see you now just in passing. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits." Paul wants to be with these Corinthian Christians. He isn't content just sending a letter with teachings and instructions. He wants to be with them. He loves them. And I believe that this is the kind of life that we're called to, a life of loving one another, of knowing each other and being known by each other. Symphony Church, my hope and my prayer is that we, that each of us who calls this church our spiritual home, that we can grow to become this type of community. Something I hear often is how transient the city is, how people come and go so frequently, and that this makes it so hard for us to build relationship. And sure, that's true to some extent. Certainly, sticking around for the long haul makes it easier on some level. But guess what? That was Paul's life as well. He traveled all throughout the Roman Empire, and while it wasn't just days at a time, maybe a year or two here, that's not too different from what we experience, right? And while we can message or call or FaceTime each other, Paul's only correspondence was sending these letters that took forever to arrive, at least by our standards today. So yes, we live in this kind of context. We live in this kind of situation, a stage of life where people come and go. But let's pray that in the time we have, no matter how short or long it may be, that we would be a people who truly love one another personally. Let's pray that we would be a church that comes together as one. And as we do that, we become a community that's able to live for Jesus together as one. So with that, let me wrap us up in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul. Yes, it was his mission, his life purpose to make you known, Jesus, to teach, to instruct, to plant churches. But Lord, we know that we can see here, I believe, that he didn't just see it as a mission or something to be accomplished, things to do. But Lord, he loved your people. He loved the church. And I just pray that you would help us as a church to grow in this way, that we would learn to love one another, that we would seek to know one another and be known and build community so that we can help each other to follow you and together as one, make you known to those around us. Lord, so I pray that you would help us to grow in these ways. And God, we know that this is only possible with you and through you. So Lord, fill us with more and more of your love so that we might love one another more as well. So thank you for this time in your word. Thank you also for guiding us through 1 Corinthians. We look forward to how you'll continue to speak to us as we read the New Testament together as a church. We love you, God, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So again, we've wrapped up 1 Corinthians today. Join us tomorrow where we'll be starting 2 Corinthians. Thanks. Have a good one.